101.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden Thursday criticizing the special counsel report concerning classified documents he had in his possession. The report exonerated the president over the mishandling of classified documents, but raised questions about his memory. But Mr. Biden insisted.
I'm the most qualified person in this country to be president of the United States and finish the job I started.
Donald Trump did not face Nikki Haley in Thursday's Republican caucuses in Nevada, which ABC News projects he won. During a Thursday hearing, the Supreme Court appeared highly skeptical of Colorado's ruling to disqualify former President Trump from the ballot based on a section of the 14th Amendment that prevents insurrectionists from holding office. Justice Elena Kagan.
I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States.
Right now in East Tennessee, a manhunt for a suspect who killed a deputy and injured another during a Thursday traffic stop. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has seen its first ever tornado touchdown in February. The National Weather Service says it happened between Evansville and Edgerton in south central Wisconsin early last night. There's no word of any serious injuries, but there are a lot of reports of damage. A bipartisan bill to ban deepfake audio and video from political ads in Wisconsin is moving through the state legislature. Rice Lake Republican Senator Romaine Quinn at a committee hearing yesterday.
I know there was an ad during the New Hampshire primary on the presidential side that had artificial intelligence in the ad. And I think disclosure is going to be more and more incredibly important as we try to wrangle the potential impacts of this.
The bill would impose $1,000 fines on the makers of ads that use artificial intelligence but don't disclose it. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is accepting entries for its Great Waters Photo Contest and Writing Project. The yearly contest will accept photo entries of the Great Lakes and Mississippi River until April 1st. Photos should include things like residents enjoying the great waters of the state, cultural and historical features, natural features, and wildlife. The contest will also accept short essays, stories, or poems inspired by the great waters. A full set of submission guidelines is available on the DNR website. The Duluth Fire Department and the Lake Superior Zoo are teaming up to turn old fire hoses into something useful. According to a Northern News Now report, the fire hoses are being converted into teething toys for bears and a feeding bed for the goats at the zoo. Zoo officials say the new toys will help stimulate the animals and allow them to express natural behaviors like they're still in the wild. According to the report, fire officials spent hours making the toys, but they're just glad the materials aren't going to go to waste. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 129-105. Milwaukee's lost five of their last six games. Doc Rivers blaming it on the team's travel schedule.
You know, you come back from the trip we just came back from, you know, sleep patterns. And then I've never seen the, you know, just the flights that they had us time change coming back. Back-to-backs, insane. Having said that, no one feels sorry for you.
NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame announcing its new class of inductees, including two former Packers, Julius Peppers, and offensive lineman Steve McMichael. The Bears' Devin Hester also voted in. The Chiefs and former Packers' Marquez Valdez-Scantling says playing with Aaron Rodgers was a difference maker in his career.
Aaron is one of my closest friends, probably one of the best teammates that I've ever played with in my entire life. I'm forever indebted to him. You know, him giving me this opportunity throughout my 4 years in Green Bay. He's a great teammate, great friend, great leader. Love the guy to death.
That's the Chiefs MVS. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, but not quite as windy as it was yesterday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 38 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 15 to 20, occasionally gusting to 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 25. Tomorrow, sunshine, 34 on Sunday, sunny with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Gable. Temperature now, 30.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Tune in this week to Busted Pencils every weekday at 7 p.m.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Your phone line, phone calls are welcome. You know, we're still here. We've got an hour, and I want to add on or welcome James Causey, a good friend of mine, editorial, award-winning editorial writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's been here and has kind of taken in some of the conversation that we just had with the senator. He's joined us. He's going to also, you know, and get involved in this conversation. But your phone calls are welcome. Sandy Williams is still here. Let me begin by saying, Sandy, your thoughts.
Well, I thought it was an interesting conversation. You know, senators go through this process all the time, and part of it is to sort of making nice out of everything. And the senator is obviously is a very partisan senator, and so denials, in spite of the denials to the contrary. So, you know, I think that it's interesting, very interesting to have him come on the show. I hope we do it again. But I think that the people who are part of the problem have to be part of the solution, and they have to recognize both of those issues before they can get all the way there. And so, you know, maybe we can help him do that.
James?
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation. I'm happy that he came on. You could really see the differences in the thought patterns between parties. And, you know, he pointed out a lot of obvious things that, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of people who don't get along. The sides don't talk to each other, and he sees problems in this and that. But, you know, he's elected to try to mend those bridges. And if he's not mending those bridges, it's kind of sad. So we need our politicians to work together. We need them to come up with real solutions to address a lot of the problems that we see.
And you know, I would say that the highlight or the most telling point was when you asked him about what is it that's a liberal, and he used the word socialist.
Yeah.
Or socialism. Yeah. You know, that the difference between the parties was capitalism versus socialism, and that's such an artificial litmus. And it's really not a correct one. And so, you know, the notion that any government program represents socialism and that socialism is going to be what tears the country down is really at the heart, I think, of the strident partisan problem we've got.
But that's part of the issue. Using the word socialism has been demonized so much, but you throw it out there and it creates this division. And, you know, it's right. All about creating this division and not bringing people together. And that's what they do all the time.
Let's do this. Let's bring Jack from Racine on the line. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. You did a nice job with Senator Johnson this morning. I think listening to him, it's difficult to talk about governmental actions that could be done to help people with someone who really doesn't believe government should be giving that help. And we've elected a person who really doesn't believe in government. And so that's very difficult. I did look up one thing, a great point about the socialism. I wish we could do more of that. What percentage of Democratic people belong to the Democratic Party do you guys think are Democrats? Are we socialists, rather? I'd ask you that. I looked up something quickly. Forbes, America's richest families, 50%, 6% Republican, 14% Democrat, 30% both. So, again, good job. Difficult project trying to get Senator Johnson to focus on issues, but he certainly gave us a clue into his type of thinking on the program.
So hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, James, you want to respond to Jack?
No, I mean, I think the notion that the dark money is somehow captive to the Democrats begs credulity. We didn't mention Soros. I expected that to be come up, but no, I mean, money in politics is clearly a big problem. He agrees it is, but then the question of how do you get money out of politics, we didn't get to that point, and I'm not sure we could have reached agreement on that.
You know, let's go to the phone lines, back to the phone lines. Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Well, first, we the people are the government, not the corporations, Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson is a rude, talks over people, and does not have a conversation with people. He cites facts that are not facts. He's working for an institution that he apparently hates because he goes into government to what, destroy government? I mean, he said it right there, government bad. He said money in politics was bad, but he wasn't going to do anything about it. How about introducing legislation to overturn, Citizens United or H.R. 1 that the Democratic Party actually put forward? This guy, honestly, he is Slick Rick. I give my hats off to you guys in terms of trying to do it. But Sandy, your base question that you asked him was excellent. And he did not answer it at all. So apparently for him, anyone that makes over $80,000, I guess, is what, middle class, and they can make it. Whereas someone that makes, what, $40,000, they're just trash.
Hey,
this guy is a joke.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I will say this. The fact that he sees everything from the perspective of government handouts and government programs. And as if people are sitting around waiting for handouts and government programs. And he talked about the war on poverty. He's going back to the 1960s and talking about the war on poverty and contrasting that with where we are today. There's no correlation between the two. So he's talking about all the money that was spent and it didn't work. And that's not what it is. That's not what the issue is. And Sandy, you.
Well, I think that the issue really relates to a notion that the government can't play a role in solving the problems. Okay. And that struck me and it surprised me because, we all agree that a vibrant economy is vital to everybody. It's vital to the jobs for people in the inner city and every place else. But we can't just lean back on the notion that we should do everything we can to support corporations and in their pursuit of profits, because profits are what measure the success of the economy as being the solution to everybody's problem. Because we have a vibrant economy right now, and the architecture of the economy is collapsing because of the burden placed on the middle-class families with respect to benefits and the way they realize them and have to pay for them. And so there's only one mechanism out there for addressing that problem, and it's government. Now, how do they address it? That can be the subject of discussion. But you can't get to the discussion about it if you simply dismiss the notion that government has a role to play.
You know, James, you and I live in a city that the poverty is one of the worst in the entire nation,
yes.
Our city.
Yes.
We see the people, the struggling, the suffering mm-hmm. that goes on with children and mothers and the homelessness and the crime and all of those things. And you can't tell me that the government can't play a role in that, because the fact that that this is the wealthiest nation on earth, and that we've got to figure out a way, and we can figure out a way to make people's lives better. Is it safe to say that?
Well, Earl, help me with this. So the government could play a role in addressing issues in other countries?
Yes.
That's it. Our government could play a role in all these other nations, but our government can't play a role in helping people here? I struggle with that. I just don't understand that. And when I hear that kind of language and talk, it makes me, you know, when we need something, when we need something that the government should be giving to us, every kid should have a, you know, he said we agree on a lot of things. And yeah, we do. But how we get there is a whole nother story. Education is important. Housing is important.
Healthcare
is important. Just, you know, safe housing and all those things are important.
Safe communities.
All these things are important. But when we see that these are a problem, but asking for any kind of assistance is being on the government teat.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But other countries, people we don't really even know, we can't understand.
And don't like.
The government plays a significant role in those areas. Help me understand that.
Let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Your thoughts?
Good morning. You and Sandy both did a wonderful job. But like I say, I couldn't call him because I would have been so mad. He has the Republican view, my way or the highway, and government has to step in. Government stepped in the 30s with the WPA program.
Yes.
We need programs to help people get ahead. We cannot let them continue to languish in this poverty because we're losing. We can't wait for the rich people to give us money, because they're never going to give us money. I'm still waiting for Ronald Reagan's trickle-down method. I'm 73, it hasn't trickled down yet. I mean, let's look at this and stop bringing the left and the right up. We don't need that kind of,
division.
He had to bat us with that one, that division. He had to bring up socialism. I don't care about that. I care about the American people. I am very concerned about the people here and the children.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts and I about the conversation with the senator and whatever it is that's on your mind. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and James Causey, editorial award-winning editorial writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has joined us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Walter's Shoreview Supper Club has everything you need to enjoy a nice night out with family and friends. Come enjoy our daily specials like Thursday ribs made with our secret barbecue sauce, or our Saturday prime rib, which includes a free dessert. With a variety of dinner entrees, an authentic soup and salad bar, and Sunday brunch, there's something for everyone. Learn more at shoreviewsupperclub.weebly.com or call us at 715-268-8774. That's 715-268-8774. Walter Shoreview Supper Club. Come and enjoy today.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfein, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, fire. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are honored to be joined by my good friend and award-winning journalist, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Zone, James Causey. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. Thank you very much. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, Sandy, and the other fellow you
have. James.
Well, we got over CJ Senior on your radio show. And, you know, there was, while I was on hold, I almost choked. There was that woman that called and talking about caring for the people, and Ron Johnson says he cares for people. That is, I almost choked. Here's the deal. I'm a retired Teamster. We fought for our pension for 7 years. Tammy Baldwin did everything she could to help us. Ron Johnson did nothing. In fact, representatives from the Teamsters went to Washington to talk to Ron Johnson. When they went in the front door, he went out the back door. Watch it.
We're on the radio.
I know.
All right.
Go ahead. He cares less for people. And I listened to him on the radio with you this morning. He just proves he has no thought for people. He doesn't care. He's up there in Washington with the rest of the Republicans and some Democrats. The way they make more money than what their salary is, it's called insider trading. Now, the average Joe would go to jail for that. There's got to be a way that they make all this extra money. And Ron Johnson has to be voted out of office. I was so disappointed when he won his last election. He goes to Washington, and he does nothing. He has not done a damn thing for the people of Wisconsin.
Hey, Bob, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, guys, I want to say that, and Sandy, you especially, our government and the system of our government that's set up, Where we talk about we've got the greatest government on earth. And yet those of us who see it in action disagree with that. You can't say we have the greatest government on earth when so many of the people are left behind. And so let's stop saying it's the greatest when they can't sit down and talk about the things that are important to the American people. I can't accept we've got the greatest government when you can't get these things fixed. As a matter of fact, you can't even bring them up to talk about. You and I talked with him a little bit off the air about these subjects and why these subjects aren't even being discussed.
Well, I mean, people point at both sides, point at partisanship as a problem and stridency as a problem, but both sides need to do things to mend the fence. Both sides talk about the United States he talked about how he thought it was, in many respects, in a downward spiral, you know, getting flushed down the toilet in terms of things. Yes, because things are going the wrong direction. Well, we have to agree on that, and then we have to solve for it. We can't call the people who identify those problems as non-patriots. We can't attack them for being un-American. That's sort of the MAGA answer to criticizing the situation. And we have to work on solutions, but Washington doesn't seem, you know, we might have a great, well-designed government, but it's currently locked in dysfunction. And I think the participants in it can't have to do more than simply describe the fact that they are themselves locked in dysfunction. They have to take the steps necessary to make it work.
Let's go to Gene from McClair. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Oh, you know, I used to hear that all the time on my local Republican station of Ron Johnson, just to let you know. And they didn't ask difficult questions or questions that mattered to us. When have we ever mended the fence? When have we had, I'm sorry to say now, seriously, people like leaving their own party, the Republican Party, who really want to mend the fence, who really want to help America? I don't see it, Sandy. I've seen it for years. You know, I'm 69, and I've watched my government for many years live. They used to work together. They wanted to work together for America. I didn't see this thing about aid for other countries like Ukraine, the issue. I have never in my life seen it. It's obstructionist, like Ron Johnson sitting in there when one person can stop bills. I mean, come on, we need to maybe educate people and new people run, people that really care about our country. I don't see it in Ron Johnson. I don't see him worrying about tax cuts for the wealthiest people in our country. I never heard anything like that about, you know, Social Security, Medicare. I mean, it's so gross, I just can't tell you. But thanks, you guys. You did a good job. I knew he wasn't going to answer any questions. I've heard him in the past. He's got the same M.O., and it's really sad for the people in the state of Wisconsin.
Hey, Gene.
Thank you. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Those of you on the line, hang on. You're tuned into, James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Sandy Williams. We're going to continue the conversation.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Green Party candidates will be on election ballots in Wisconsin this year. That's after Wisconsin Elections Commission action yesterday. A Green Party candidate could make a difference in a close election in a key swing state, and the latest Marquette poll suggests President Biden has the most to lose from third-party and independent candidates. The Green Party has yet to put forward a nominee. It's tax season again. Seniors can get free help filing their taxes. The AARP's Darren Wasniewski says volunteers are trained on the latest tax code changes and can help in person or online.
You can just come once, give your documents, and then complete everything electronically online after that, going right over to just providing online coaching.
There are 120 AARP tax aid locations all over Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Chisholm man has been arrested in Duluth in connection to an overdose death and multiple active warrants. 41-year-old Justin Dean Stouffer was arrested in the Gary, New Duluth neighborhood at around 4 p.m. on Wednesday. He had active warrants for third-degree murder, felon in possession of a firearm, and drug possession. The third-degree murder charge stems from a March 2023 incident where Stouffer was accused of selling drugs to Timothy Baker, which led to his overdose death. He currently has 18 open cases in the county. The warm weather is giving the city of Duluth a chance to get ahead on road maintenance in the area. According to Duluth officials, crews are beginning to get out on the roads to fix potholes with a temporary asphalt that still works in the cold. Permanent fixes aren't expected until May, and the city will be fixing potholes on an as-needed basis due to the cost of using the temporary cold mix asphalt. However, the warmer weather may contribute to fewer potholes to fix come spring if the rain doesn't show up. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Weeknights 8 till 10 on Lake Air, 1260 AM and 107.5 FM WLAK.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're like me, you still haven't gotten your invitation to the Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce wedding, and now I know why. They might be considering eloping. A Las Vegas wedding chapel is offering to marry the two lovebirds for free after Super Bowl Sunday. Is that about the sweetest thing you've ever heard? And think of the money the struggling young couple will save by not having a wedding. They can put it all to their nice little starter house. Ready for an OMG moment? The New York Post reports that pop star Britney Spears said she made out with actor Ben Affleck in 1999 and totally forgot. This is actually news in 2024. Hollywood gets a bad rap sometimes, and maybe deservedly so, when people are running around necking willy-nilly with each other and forgetting all about it? In a related story, I've made out with a total of 9 people and remember all of them. The Post says they've contacted reps from both parties, but no word yet. America waits. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, but not quite as windy as it was yesterday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 38 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 15 to 20, occasionally gusting to 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 25. Tomorrow, sunshine, 34 on Sunday, sunny with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Gable. Temperature now 29.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Pearl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air, 1260 AM and 107.5 FM WLAK. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Party that could ever be.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're honored to be joined again by award-winning editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey. You know, Sandy, today's show is moving a little slower than it normally moves.
Well,
and I'm kind of happy about that, huh?
Is it moving slower? I don't know.
No, okay. It appears to me, and I mean in a positive sense. Let's go to John from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. We're fine.
Well, I didn't hear Senator Johnson, but I thought I would share a personal experience. When I was working, I'm retired now. One of the managers thought he did a great thing by inviting a senator to our holiday meeting. And they happened to be Ron Johnson. And as you know, Wisconsin's a pretty even state, pretty much 50-50, conservative to progressive. And here this man came in and spoke for more than a half an hour and just ranted on what he perceived as the negatives of President Obama. And the one word that I can recall from that half an hour sitting in this room was he kept referring to him as feckless. He thought that was such a cool word. He had no common sense to realize, you know, there was 120 people in the room, that probably 60 people in that room didn't agree with him. And I can tell you, after the meeting, so many people came up to me and thought it was disgusting. And, you know, the manager that invited him had to walk that back because it was a huge mistake to put in somebody that didn't have the common sense to realize he was addressing people that possibly didn't see his point of view. He is a very weak man, in my estimation.
Well, John, thank you very much for the call. I think that, you know, you have to be cognizant that you don't have the only opinion and that, you know, there's two sides to every coin. And yes, there are times, and I think one of the biggest, Sandy, we see it, James, we see it, that this debate that is being had. I was talking with a guy the other day, and he called me, and James, the debate was, he was telling me about, you know, woke, the term woke, and he was debating me about, well, you can get two people and they can both disagree on what woke means, so there's no point in even having to come and say. I said, well, the dictionary has already defined what woke is. So there is a right and a wrong in conversations, in issues. Let's stop talking about saying or acting as if there isn't a right and a wrong in debates and in issues, right? I mean, the definitions have already been determined. And if somebody's arguing against these definitions that are there and they've changed them, there really isn't any debate because we already know what this means. And yet we are caught in this constant turmoil, you know, about words and what they mean. James, you're a writer. You know what the words mean. You know what the definitions are. If somebody comes and changes the definition to the word, what are we talking about?
Yeah, but wouldn't you think Senator Johnson would think he's woke, though? I mean, he has it. No, I'm serious. He has his.
Which definition of woke?
I think he believes he gets it. I mean, he has his Johnson's Project. I mean, right. which he touts and he says is working miracles in the inner city. So I think
Westcomer's not working miracles.
Well, I'm just saying what he believes, and he believes that that's his connection to people in the central city.
True.
So I think he believes in a way that he sort of gets it, but I think other people would say no, he really doesn't. So
Sandy,
well, I think. You know, we had Senator Johnson on because he was elected by the Wisconsin people. He reflects an audience in Wisconsin that agrees with him and voted for him. And his style, whatever that is, whether it's to be criticized or not, was attractive enough to the majority of voters in Wisconsin so that he was elected. So my sense is that and desire is to try and communicate with the senator and have him communicate back with the people so we can, so he can get a better understanding of what it is that the Wisconsin people really need and want, and so that he could focus his attentions on that. I don't think that in politics today we do anywhere near enough, good enough job as constituents of holding the feet to the fire of the people we elect, including someone like Senator Johnson. So that I looked at all the bills that he has sponsored or co-sponsored in this current term, and really none of them have anything to do with Tom, Dick, and Mary's budget, okay? None of them have to do with the welfare of that family. They have to do with a whole bunch of subjects, most of them politically interesting, not almost any of them very important, okay, to the American people in their capacity as American people living day to day. Some of them involve social issues. Some of them involve religious issues, and some of them involve disclosure. I think the one that came closest was a disclosure requirement on student loans to make sure that students would understand the interest they'll be paying. But, you know, I think what's important is that we keep open the channel of communication. We not shut it down by making Senator Johnson feel that he's going to be the subject only of attack by being on a show like this. On the other hand, I think it's also very important that we hold his feet to the fire.
Well, it's not just for Senator Johnson, but all politicians need to have their feet held to the fire.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's where this problem comes in, because, you know, I love that he came on the show. I love that he gave his ideas and he talked about what he sees as problems and things like that. And I think people need to understand that, because we really don't get that in debates anymore, because people really don't debate much. And honestly, most people like him, he could just keep running and just win based on his name recognition. And that's where the problem lies, because you said you looked at all the bills and things that he brought up, and none of them really address Tom and Mary. So, but he still keeps getting elected. So why is that? Is he just getting reelected on name recognition? Is he doing a lot to get reelected? But he constantly gets reelected. So there's a number of issues here. We have to have better people running for politics, and it can't just turn into a name recognition kind of thing. And we've gotten so far away from that, I mean, it messes us all up, and that's where the problem lies.
Let's go back to the phone lines. And Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks very much for this important program. I always look for the positive in any situation. And to me, the point that was made about the gun crisis was the highlight of today's talk. My question on the audio was his concern about the future of the youth on this planet wasn't addressed, but I think the gun crisis came closest to that. Thanks very much for this.
Thank you very much for the call, Mary. James, the gun issue, you've written about it a million times.
Yeah, I just still don't understand, Earl, and I'm glad you brought this up, why the gun show loophole is not addressed.
It's sacred.
I mean, why, you know, even though there's enough guns in the United States to arm every man, woman, and child, everything should be done to make sure that illegal guns are not ending up in the hands of maniacs. And closing the gun show loophole, you know, he says there's 10,000 laws on the books for guns. Well, make it 10,001. what's the problem making it 10,001? Because if that could save a life, if that could save 10 lives, 100 lives, then the job is being done. So why can't we make those steps and do that? You know, and that's where I have a problem. Well, we have 10,000 laws, but they're not being enforced. Add one more then, and maybe that one could save a life.
And that doesn't make you anti-Second Amendment, right?
But that could probably impact you receiving funding.
Yeah.
From.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Let's go to Malik from Racine. Good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl, and good morning, Sandy. Good morning to your guest as well. I had the question about the genocide, but I did listen to the majority of the show, and I felt, you know, with the research that and the things that I understood about Ron Johnson, is that he does accept a lot of money from these gun lobbies and even the AIPAC lobby, and that's why it was interesting to hear, like, oh, I don't want to. He wants to take the money out of the elections and stuff like that. Yeah, he himself still accepts money. And when you brought up gun control, again, he receives the most funding from any senator from the gun lobbyists. So it was interesting for him to be right away adamant to not even consider that, you know, a gun show might need more, you know, regulations in terms of selling a gun. It would make more sense in that situation, especially for the severity of what a gun can bring. And yet he was not even willing to even listen. And that's why I think, you know, as a young person in this country, it's fascinating to see how, like, corrupt and twisted our government has become, because at the end of the day, just, you know, it's a money thing for them. They don't really have the best interest. And like, I think the majority of the listeners or the speakers that have spoken, the sentiment's the same, is that we're not, you know, going to progress. Our country is not going to get better when we have these elected officials. And I agree with your guest. I think we do need better candidates, but unfortunately, this system is so, you know, corrupt. I think my question, I guess, that I wanted to pose to you and Sandy and to your guests as well, is that what can we do in order to kind of unravel such a corrupt, you know, process to get these good officials in power?
Hey Malik, I'm glad you called, man. Leave your phone number because I got to get back in touch with you. Thank you very much for the call. You guys want to respond?
Well, you know, like I said, it's somehow constituents have to get more powerful. All right. And they have to become more powerful in the eyes of the people that they elect so that they have a greater impact on who they elect and then what happens after they get elected. And money in politics has made that harder because the elected officials tend to react to something other than their constituents, at least numeric constituents. And so, you know, how do we do it? It's a grassroots issue and it's an organizational issue. It's also a getting money out of politics issue. We've got to get the competing interest out of, you know, the interest should only be the constituents' interest, but now we have competing interests, and we have to get that competing interest out of politics.
These people aren't going to cut their own throats. So go ahead, Jim.
But I know this is a very good point by the caller. One thing I could say is that the media needs to do a better job.
No question.
You know, it really comes down to us. We take all the money out of it, but we could hold forums and have all the candidates on a dais and have them speak and talk about what they want to do and their plans and things like that, just to give listeners and potential voters a chance to hear them. You know, it shouldn't just come down to money and how many billboards you could put up, how many social media posts you could put out there. It should just really come down to what your plans are and how you plan to address them, and that's where the media could step in and do a better job.
Well, you've been at this for a long time. You remember when that used to happen.
Yeah. We really pretty much got away from doing that kind of thing. And part of that falls on us. But we need to step up and do a better job. For sure.
Well, I mean, media has been sort of sucked. The money has been sucked out of media in a way in terms of its capacity to do such things or exactly. To invest in such things. And so we've got technological issues. We've got sociological issues, economic issues. But somehow we have to find a way to give more power to constituents and less power to non-constituent money.
844-967-2789. Guys, hang on. We're going to come back to you. 844-967-2789. Just a great conversation. So glad that editorial writer and my friend James Causey has decided to hang with us. And Sandy always, you know, couldn't do it without you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Wolters Shoreview Supper Club has everything you need to enjoy a nice night out with family and friends. Come enjoy our daily specials like Thursday ribs made with our secret barbecue sauce or our Saturday prime rib, which includes a free dessert. With a variety of dinner entrees, an authentic soup and salad bar, and Sunday brunch, there's something for everyone. Learn more at shoreviewsupperclub.weebly.com or call us at 715-268-8774. That's 715-268-8774. Wolters Shoreview Supper Club. Come and enjoy today.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the phone. I should have listened to my own.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. I'm just so happy that all of you have decided to hang with us. You know, my guest James Calls, the editorial writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and as always, my cohort Sandy Williams has been a part of this special show. Let's go to David from Mequon. David, your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. I first want to say to Mr. Causey, I read your last article. I thought it was a on point, and I agree with you what you were talking about with the Bucks, with the coaches.
Thank you.
About they're paying almost $50, $60 million. It's crazy.
three at once.
Yeah, three at once. And, you know, I do think, though, I do agree with Senator Johnson on the fact that, yes, I think the federal government does a lousy job in taking money and then spending it. We don't know where it goes. It's like a black hole out there. It's going to this person and that, you know, that country and this institution. And I do think we have to realize that in Congress, if you look at the wealthiest, when we talk about the 1%, Congress is the 1%. Almost everybody is a multi-millionaire, including Johnson, including, you know, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi. You can go down the list, Mitch McConnell. And unfortunately, so you have that in the equation baked into the cake, that when you have somebody that's that powerful and they have those control levers, the money gets funneled to them, you know, through lots of different means. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention and keep up the good work, Mr. Causey.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for the call. You want to respond at all? Okay. So the thing I would say about that is they don't walk into office themselves. They've got all this money, but people vote for them. People put them in office. And so whether or not they have all this money or not, it's up to the people.
Well, I would also say, though, that government is a lot more than programs that disperse money to others. Government is regulation. Government is the FAA. Government is the SEC. Government is the IRS. Government is a whole bunch of things that need to enforce laws and need to protect the safety of the American people. And the government is not that bad at some programs. Medicare is actually quite an effective program. I've never heard anyone criticize Medicare. Social Security actually is a very effectively low-cost administrative program. So the government is fully capable of doing these things. And I think the problem is to take a broad backhand at government, to simply describe government as ill-suited to do things, all right? Because government is a necessary object, and what we all ought to be trying to do is make sure that our government improves and becomes better and more effective and more efficient.
I think what the caller is saying, though, you know, senators make an average of, what, $175,000,
yeah,
$200,000 a year, but they walk away with $20, $30, $40 million in their bank accounts, and it's like, wait, How did you turn $174,000 a year into $40 million profit? And that needs to be examined. It's like, who did you take money from? What did you have to do to get this money? What kind of insider trading did you? It turns into all this other stuff, and that's what people are starting to recognize and see.
Let's go to Lou from Cudahy. Good morning to you, Lou. You say what?
Hey, good morning. You know, every time you talk about Donald Trump, you help him get elected. And the two people that the left hates in this order are Donald Trump and Ron Johnson. And you hate Ron Johnson because he's a stand-up guy and he fights back.
Hey, Lou, let me first challenge. You said every time we talk about Donald Trump, he gets elected. The last time I checked, he ran for president before. The last time he lost, he didn't get elected. He got elected the one time for president, Lou. So, you know, we just want to make sure we got facts.
Front runner, and I think Nikki Haley's going to drop out real soon. He's going to be the candidate, the nominee from the Republican side.
That's on Republicans, man. That's not on all of us. Republicans have made the decision to do that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. I don't know, Tom, quickly.
It's very, very simple. It's get money out of politics. I tell everybody go to movetoamend.org, represent.us. Those are a couple different websites. They're trying to get money out of politics. That is the bottom line. The media companies are not saying anything because they get advertising dollars from these guys ever since Citizens United. And Ron Johnson is a coward. Ever since Citizens United, this has opened the floodgates for the corporations to give more money. And ever since Ronald Reagan, we've had more lobbyists and we've had more money in politics than we ever did during FDR's era, after FDR started putting a 90% tax on people that made over $3 million a year.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I'm going to extend the same invitation to Senator Tammy Baldwin and see if she will accept the same kind of hour that Senator Ron Johnson accepted. James, is it? I mean, we should expect the same thing, right?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes. Without a doubt.
You know, so we'll be certainly extending that invitation to Senator Baldwin. I think, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there is not enough. And so even in the face of that, and I'm sure we'll get Senator Ron Johnson back, this is an election year, Sandy.
Well, it's an election year, and also it's just it's a time, and I think the intent of this network and of this show is to try and talk to the people in their capacity as people, but also in their capacity as constituents in our government, and to awaken us all to get so we can move forward and achieve much more of the potential than we are currently achieving.
I want to thank you guys. Thank you, James. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin. We couldn't have done it without you. And more than anything else, thank all of you, the listeners. Enjoy the last of this 55-degree weather. Up next, Jane Madnair, Madnair on Air, and Chris Bosch.
The St. Croix Valley.
We're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the Careers tab.
You
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.